So I've got to tell you guys, I'm really proud of the daylight savings time joke I made at the 6:30 Mass. I started my homily and just said, "Welcome to the 5:30 Mass." It killed him. It killed him. So, what links the readings together today? It's a little bit of a challenge to see it, perhaps. It's the idea of covenant and Exodus. Those two ideas are in all of the readings. So in the first reading, we have Abram, right as he's about to make this covenant with God, or I guess more appropriately, God is about to make the covenant with him. God tells Abram, look at the sky and try to count the stars, because that's how numerous your descendants will be. In Abraham's side of the deal, Abram, so far, he doesn't get the new name yet, Abram's part of the deal is, you will be my God. So that is the covenant they make with each other, that Abram would put his faith in the Lord and God would give him descendants as numerous as the stars. And so to make this covenant happen, they do this kind of strange ritual where they cut a bunch of animals in half. They're clean animals, but they cut them in half, and then Abram walks between them, and then he sits there and waits. And it says that all these birds start showing up and trying to eat the carcass. So I imagine Abram's like busy all day, get out of here, birds. And then finally, when the sun had set and it was dark, this smoking fire pot and flaming torch passed between them, right? Fun fact, flaming torch in Hebrew, the word can also be translated as lightning, which is kind of crazy to think about. So it's like a smoking fire pot with lightning passes in between this sacrifice that Abram has made. And the reason that they do that is because when they would make a covenant, the two parties to the covenant would walk between this animal and say, may it be done to me as it was done to this animal if I break this covenant, right? So under this pain of death, basically, would they break the covenant? Because that was the most important bond there was. A covenant in those days would make someone part of a family. That is why marriage is a covenant. Even back then, it was a covenant, and it's unbreakable, except by death. And so that's why they're doing this. Another fun fact, the word for covenant in Hebrew is the same word as split in half, and the first letter of that word is what they would use for the number 7. So anytime you hear the number 7, it's a reference to the covenant, and that's why it's the heavenly number in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And as if that's not enough about covenant in the first reading, the part we cut out, God is giving Abram a prophecy of the Exodus. He tells him that your descendants will live in a land that is not their own for 400 years, and I will bring them out of that land, which is exactly what happened. The Israelite people, there we go. There's all sorts of different names for different groups. They went to Egypt, and they were there for 430 years until the Exodus happened, and they passed through the Red Sea into the desert of sin. And so God bringing his children out of that is kind of what can bring us to our second reading today. And in this second reading, St. Paul is telling people how to conduct themselves when they're members of the family of God, because we are children of Abraham by our faith. When we were baptized, we became a part of God's covenant family. And so our behavior should be like a member of God's family. And so that's why St. Paul says that if you conduct yourselves in a particular way, that makes you an enemy of the cross of Christ, because you're turning your back on the family you have joined. He says that their God is their stomach, right? And it's not just that they like eating a little bit too much, you know? It's all of the things of this world that we are overly indulgent in that he's calling us on. And he's saying, be mindful of these things. Because true freedom, it's not in our ability to do whatever it is that we want, right? I can go out and I can have, you know, all the wine that I want and 15 steaks, right? And that might make me happy for about 5 minutes. But at the end of the day, that's not where my freedom lies. Because that's a happiness that goes away. True freedom lies in the ability to follow God and to become closer to him. Because that's when we find true joy. And that's when we find lasting happiness. And so freedom is what allows us to follow God so that we can be happy. And so that's why St. Paul is telling us we can't follow our stomachs to happiness. Maybe for 5 minutes we can, but not if we want eternal happiness. And that eternal happiness that we're seeking, we get a brief glimpse of in the Transfiguration today. Peter, James, and John, this gospel throws me off because they listed Peter, John, and James, and for some reason we always say James and John. We see Christ in dazzling white, holding counsel with Moses and Elijah, speaking of the law and the prophets and how he is their fulfillment. But what I'd like to focus on is not actually that, or whether or not Peter really knew what was going on or was out of his mind or whatever. I want to talk about the cloud. We see this cloud over and over again in Scripture. In fact, we saw it in the cloud of smoke in our first reading today. And then we see it again when Moses goes up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. There's this massive cloud at the top of the mountain with all this lightning and thunder going on. And the reason that they sent Moses up by himself is because everybody else was afraid of the cloud where God was. And when he didn't come back after a few days, they're like, Moses must have died. The lightning must have got him. You know, I can't say I blame him. That's pretty good reasoning. Then we see the cloud again after they build the tabernacle tent for the Ark of the Covenant. God's glory comes upon it in this cloud. We see a cloud come into the temple that Solomon builds to remind us of God's presence. And then the prophets talk about clouds all the time. But when we see this cloud, we know that that's the presence of God. And it says they became frightened when they entered the cloud. So it's as if this mysterious presence of God kind of swallowed them up. And I think that would be frightening too, because it's hard to see when you're in the middle of a cloud. It forces you to remember that God is mysterious and we don't know what to expect from him. And it reminds us of all those things in the Old Testament, all of those covenants in the Old Testament. It reminds us of how the Hebrew people were led out of, in their Exodus, they were led out of Egypt by a cloud. All of these things remind us of the glory and the mystery of God. And it's really fitting that we have this in the gospel today. Because if you've noticed, all of those times we see the cloud, they're related to the covenants somehow. Well, just before this passage, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem because now it is time to go and to be crucified. And so, right after telling his apostles that he's going to die, he then gives them this vision of glory, one to inspire hope in them, but also, I think, to remind them of the covenant that he's about to fulfill and the new covenant that he's about to institute. It's a reminder of where they came from and where they're going, and a call to turn their lives back towards Jesus Christ. And so today, I think what we can see in the readings is this history of covenants. We can see how God calls his people out of darkness into the light. But most of all, today the readings help us to remember where we came from and to repent so that we can go to where we are called.